Beginning a new reel. This new reel, channel one right. This is new reel, channel one right. Getting ready for Sybil. Getting ready for Sybil this afternoon, Thursday the 6th of August 1970. Thursday the 6th of August 1970. Getting ready for Sybil. She's at the barbershop now. She's getting there at 2 o'clock, 2:30. And she's coming on up here. Faye's gone to Bill's, to the meat market, and take some stuff to the dump, and check in at with Sybil. It's been overcast all day. It warmed up, though, after that fine rain yesterday afternoon late that broke that heat. Oh, we had 10 days of hay weather, more than hay weather. It was, the sun was so hot, you had to get the hay in before it cured too much. And mine cured too much. We made hay on Friday and Saturday, and Willie made Willie sick. He couldn't go to church on Sunday. And Sybil told Faye something has to happen to Willie if he can't get to church. And this is Channel 1 Right, beginning of a new reel for Sybil. Thursday, the 6th of August, 1970.
Yesterday, I bought myself yesterday and didn't have no steam. And oh, I had all them 376 inmates to feed. But we finally got it done.
How many?
376.
And what happened?
Didn't have no steam to cook with. We had a few electric stoves, but we were grilling on top of them, pork chops, and had just three little ovens. We had to bake bread and cook all of our food in the oven. Three little ovens now, bake bread for that many girls, and they get two big rolls apiece.
Oh, yeah. When
yesterday.
Did that happen?
Yesterday.
Oh, the power went off.
No, there's something happened to the motor or something to the big ovens.
Yeah.
And the steam, too. The steam, the big steam pots, you know. Cooking big steam pots.
Oh, yeah. They'd have a big system down there, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a tank as big as this room.
Well, do you have to plan all that food?
I don't plan it. My supervisor, he plans the menus. And I have to substitute if we don't have what he's got on now. Like yesterday, we were supposed to have mashed potatoes and didn't have no steam to cook them, so I had to substitute pork and beans.
Yeah.
Oh.
Man, why?
But it works out, I said. You've been to the barbershop, too, and got a haircut. You get one down at McIntosh?
No.
That's my nephew that runs that barbershop.
What's his name?
Jan. Otis Jan.
Yes, I know him.
You know, he lives next to me over there.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. That's his house before he gets mine.
Well, I've been down there a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
It's just out of my way. I go into the game
for
this. And I don't go down that way very much. If he moved up to make an opening.
Well, he used to cut hair in Gainesville.
Yeah, he used to be up there with Hugh Edge. I believe he said.
That's across from back of Wilson's over there, across the street from Wilson's, where he used to work.
That's right, he was.
Mm-hmm. And they begged him to take this down here. He hated to leave them up there. He'd been there so long.
I imagine.
But it's better on in here because he don't have those long hours.
Yeah.
I mean, he stayed in there a good while, but see, like on Monday and Tuesday, I think he comes in about 9. And he works pretty late in the afternoon, but Wednesday he's off all day.
Yeah.
And then one day he works a half a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he don't have quite so far to drive.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Short distance.
So you just about kin to everybody around
there. Just about.
Well, now how are you connected with Mr. Jan?
He married my niece, my sister's daughter.
Is that right?
Yeah. And my daughter married Emmett Dodge, boy with McIntosh.
Yeah. You know, he's a handsome boy.
He really is.
Tom, he's a good little boy. He's had to work hard all his life.
Well,
His daddy, well, he helped his daddy at that station, pumping gas, fixing tires, and things like that.
Yeah.
He's smart, too, in books.
Oh, is he?
You know, he goes to college and work.
Oh.
And my daughter's telling me the other day, she said, Mama, we didn't tell you that Tommy made, what those grades in college, you know, three something,
yeah.
3 point something. He was up in the top,
yeah.
You know, three. And I said, well, that's good, and go to work, too.
Yeah.
And he's planning on going a lot more.
And he's working too?
Mm-hmm. He works in courthouse.
Yeah. So he put in his vacation, his day off, working out here.
Mm-hmm. He'll do anything in the world for Willie.
Yeah.
Oh.
He loves him.
I could see that.
Willie loves him too.
Yeah.
He's just like one of the family.
I didn't remember. I've seen him around, but I didn't remember him. He's just downright handsome fella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he gets fixed up. He is nice looking. He coaches football and basketball.
Or never does.
He does something all the time.
Yeah.
My goodness, he goes to school and works at the courthouse and referees, coaches.
Yeah. But you know, that's the way people are now. They got a dozen things going on. Me, I just work and I get home, sit down, forget about it. Last night, my sister-in-law said, now when you come in, come to my house. I said, oh, I got to get a nap first. I took a nap then in the dryer.
Oh,
everybody watching me. Everybody watching me. I said, go ahead and look, because I'm going to sleep.
Because
I've been up here since 3 o'clock this morning.
Well, when do you sleep?
When do I sleep? Go to bed about 10 o'clock. See, on Wednesday and Thursday, I go to work 4:45 in the morning, get off at 1. And then on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I go to work at 11 and get off at 7. That's good hours. But, you know, if Willie was home, it'd be different. But with him being away, works out good.
Well, sometimes you have to... do something about breakfast and lunch then, don't you? Is
mm-hmm.
that right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you know, I have trouble getting there at the same time every day.
I can be right on the dot. Ask Willie.
Yeah.
If he's not right there at a certain time, I worry him to death till he gets there.
Yeah.
Because I've been working, well, when I used to work at the shirt factory, and we'd have to do so many minutes, you know. And I'd watch the clock time and stuff, and went to school, we'd have to feed those kids at a certain time to get them out, you know, to go to whatever they're supposed to be going to. Then I went down there, we had to feed at a certain time. We'd feed breakfast at 6:45. And they'd get out of there, and they'd go to the clinic, and at 8 o'clock they'd go to school or to their job, you know, whatever they're doing. Then we got dinner coming in there at 12 o'clock, and supper at 5. It keeps you hopping.
Gee whiz, yeah.
They take my timepiece away, I couldn't go. I'd have to study the sun, go by the sun.
It's almost, you can't even go over 10 or 15 minutes.
Mm-mm.
It gets you in trouble.
Yeah, you're behind, you're getting the doghouse.
You hear from it.
Mm-hmm. Like this morning, one of the matrons, all my kitchen help comes out of one dormitory. It's two or three and one more. But they supposed to be in at 5 o'clock. Well, some of them didn't get in until 20 minutes after 5.
Yeah.
So I called them. I said, you know what? I said, I don't like to report nobody. They're having trouble, you know, anybody. But I said, if you don't get these girls here, I'm going to have to say something, because I said, I'm the one going to catch it.
Yeah.
I said, you sitting down there napping while I'm up here working. And I said, I got to have them girls.
Yeah.
She said, well, Miss Titty, you have to go ahead and report. Says I get them up, they don't get out. But it's her place to see if they get out.
Yeah.
Because I'm not supposed to see if they get out and me up in the kitchen.
Yes. You know, one of Faye's friends is over at Sunland Training Center. Works at 9.
Who's that?
Helen Cookie. And,
I've got a friend that works with her in daytime.
She, it's restful to her over there. She just has to be there, you see. if there's a heaven, all like that. Now, that's for you, isn't it?
Yeah. You don't get no rest down there, I guarantee you.
Haven't got any restful job?
Not in that kitchen. Not when you got a big kitchen there and you got about 15 girls there. Then you got two big dining rooms, and one dining room you got about, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 girls over there, and you got about 5 or 6 over in the other one. You got 4 doors that they can go in and out, and you're supposed to keep them in there at all times, unless you know where they're, you know, going. Besides your food, you got to worry about that amount of food.
Oh, you can't let these girls out of your sight, really.
Well, when they go to school or something like that, we'll let them go, but they're supposed to stay in there. You got to keep up with them because some of them will get out. And then some of them, you know, some of them might escape, some wouldn't. But of course, they're on the fence, but that don't matter. They want to get out there bad enough.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
They climb it. They try. They get hung sometimes. They try. You heard about that Marie Dean, didn't you? The one that killed that secretary down in the South? Marie Arrington, I believe is her name. She got out of there. Said that she got out about 4:00 in the morning. Well, that's the time I usually go into work, but I happened to be off that day. I said, well, maybe if I'd been going in, I would have seen. But maybe good Lord says, well, I'm not going to let you be there, so you won't see that. Because that would have been dangerous. But they escape other places. Just like to do there.
You don't think about it too much, do you?
Mm-mm. But we got some mean ones in there.
Oh.
Most all of them kill somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those colored women, they don't think nothing about killing a man or woman, either one. They say, heck, I'll serve 10 years just to get you. They do that. You know, it's pitiful. They're not like we are. My heavens, we wouldn't. Well, some people might kill, you know, if they get them tired of something, but to kill, that's something else, but it's nothing to them.
Maybe we're too trustful.
Well, this is what Bessie said.
I'll tell you one thing, you know, just working with them. Of course, I'm not supposed to talk, you know, so don't repeat what I say. But just working with them, I found out that you just let them two-time you one time, or you two-time them, you get it.
Okay.
And all they think about is cutting or killing. They'll tell you quick they're not going to skin up their fist on you. They'll get something that they don't have to.
Oh, what?
Yes, they will.
Make you change your job.
Well, I've been working there 7 years. They're not after me. They're after one they get mad with, you know.
Yeah.
But it's some good ones in there.
But you don't pass them or anything. Fart them around.
Well, yeah, I have to tell them what to do. And they get mad at you sometimes, but not too much. They get, well, not to say really mad, they resent having to do something once in a while, but if you treat them all alike and the tone of voice you use, you know.
Yeah, that means a lot, that tone of voice. That's right. I understand that.
They don't seem to get mad but once in a while.
And you can tell when they're mad?
Oh, yeah.
They don't try to conceal it?
Uh-uh. But you know, I'll be there 7 years next month, 23rd.
Yeah.
And I've never had but two to even think about using a knife on each other. And it hadn't been 2 months ago that this happened. And they just had small little paring knives, you know, one got in the other one's way and she said something back to her, and then they just grabbed each other and had the knives, you know. They didn't cut each other.
Come from that law-abiding neighborhood over there?
Yeah. Well, you don't know who you're walking down the street by, do you?
No.
Probably worse walking down the street by than just there.
I thought it did, but now I'm not sure.
You don't anymore. Like Willie, he said, Lord, since I've been going to work at the university, I have really seen everything.
Yeah.
Some of the things you don't see at night,
yeah,
on the street.
Yeah.
He said, I ain't surprised at nothing.
Yeah.
And like I tell him, Willie's always been an easygoing person, but then he hates to see a child, you know, do something that they shouldn't. And
yeah.
He thinks, well, if their parents didn't teach them right from wrong, says, well, I ought to tell him or something. He used to be bad about that, you know. He'd try to correct him, but I said, you better leave these alone. And he's found that out.
He don't try to correct them?
No, he said he let them go.
Oh, you mean up there?
Yeah, up there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, you didn't correct them.
Oh, that's happening.
Yeah.
No, they're bigger than you are.
So right.
You know, my first, one of my first contacts up there, when I first come down here, they gave me a class in business English to teach, and all the other people took it because they wanted to know how to write letters and things. But a lot of them took it because they could get credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
One time I got in a class there with a bunch of sponge fishermen from Tampa, the sons of sponge fishermen, those
mm-hmm.
families down there. And I'm telling you, I don't know how to say it. They were big, and they could sink fast,
mm-hmm.
and they could just, they weren't interested in the subject, but they could talk to you, and they're awful interesting, and they were scoundrels, everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they was up there, if they couldn't get Sue one way, they'd get Sue
mm-hmm.
another. Now, I'm not saying it well.
I know.
Because they were right. High class scoundrel. Big.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had respect for people ever since. That learned me a lesson.
Mm-hmm. Well, nowadays you can't correct nobody.
No.
You've got to let them go. I know we have this family. Oh, I don't know where they come from, Tallahassee, I believe. Well, we got the girl's sister lives over there not too far from me, and they real, you know, nice, and the kids are nice, and they, you know, they're real respectful. And this other family, they had one boy, the oldest boy. He went into this hippie stuff, you know. So he was down at the church one Sunday night, and I didn't even know the boy. I didn't even know it was their boy. And I wasn't outside when it happened, but Willie told me when he got home, but Willie and this boy's daddy and Willie's brother's boys, they was out there. Danny and his brother, you know, was out there, and a whole bunch of people. And he said, he heard this boy say to Willie's nephew, he says, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to do this, that, and the other, you know, and was cursing. And he said, his daddy, a big old man, that's three times as big as Willie, standing up there letting the boy say these things, not correcting him. So Willie said he realized his daddy wasn't going to do nothing about it, so he just grabbed a hold of him. He said, now let me tell you one thing. You can say that all you want to, but you're not staying here on this church ground. So you get away from here if you're going to talk like that. And you know, he said the boy just stopped. Willie didn't say nothing else to him. So Willie said he told his daddy, he said, well, I'm sorry that I did that, but said it hit me the wrong time, you know. He told me, he said, well, that's fine. He said, that's fine. He needed it. But it was bad. His own daddy, you know, wouldn't correct him and have to have somebody else to correct him.
Yeah.
Because if that had been one of our girls talking like that, Willie would have been mad if you hadn't corrected him.
Well, now, was that somebody Willie knew?
Yeah. It was this man that lived over there. Well, he lived on this McIntosh Road going to our house.
Yeah.
And this boy had just went up to Gainesville and got in this hippie stuff and went wild. And he'd been in Mariana someplace for meanness.
Oh.
And then he come home and he just thought he's gonna run around and do just like he wanted to right on.
Yeah.
So Willie got old and he got home and told me, said, boy, I got mad down at church tonight. I said, what in the devil did you do? He told me, I said, wonder that man then got mad with you. He said, he might have, but said, I tell you, I couldn't take it. He said, I had to say something.
Because
he said, it burnt me up. He said, I got respect for people and the talk so nasty to young girls, you know, kids around there, and that big old boy talking like that.
Well, Willie, right, Scrappy?
Huh? No. Uh-uh. Willie's, no, Willie will take and take and take and take. But he said that night that this boy, see, the kids have been carrying on around there anyway. I mean, you know, not at the church, but the homes around.
Yeah.
So he knew this boy had been, you know, off,
yeah.
And everybody was kind of afraid of him.
Yeah. Well, now, I've heard Brother talking about that school bus. And every now and then, he had,
Well, the older boys. He was one of the best drivers, not because he's my husband, but he was one of the best drivers, and they loved him to death.
Yeah.
And when he quit, they just begged him to come back and drive. It's because he made a mind, see? They enjoyed riding the bus, and he didn't let the big kids run over the little kids. And,
oh, he didn't?
Mm-mm. You know how these old boys would do, push them little ones back and get on out or stomp them or something like that.
Well, I can imagine that he won't. He's not afraid of the devil, but he's not going
to
cause any trouble.
No, that's right. Well, you've got to stand up against him. You can't. I mean, you know, you just can't. If you're going to be a bus driver or something like that, just like an officer, if you can't face him, you might as well not to get in there.
You mean a bus driver's got to do that?
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Willie did. We had this one boy that lived, well, he's a distant cousin of mine, way down the line, but he was spoilt rotten, brought up by, you know, well, he's the last one of the family, and they just gave him money and a car to run around, have a big time, do whatever he wanted to, and he'd get on the bus, or he'd curse and try to curse and just be mean and all, so Willie'd get on to him and carry him in the principal expel him off the bus, you know. By the time Willie'd come in the bus that afternoon, he'd get in his car and come around to the house and apologize to Willie for being so mean. Well, we'd have done that more times than one, but he wasn't afraid of him. If he'd have been afraid of him, he couldn't drove the bus, because he'd have, you know, probably made him wreck it or something.
That's right.
Well,
I don't see how he'd do it.
They had some of them somewhere
along the line
would get mad at him, but they don't get mad at
him. They probably got mad, they got over it.
Well, no, they don't necessarily get mad.
He drove the bus 13 years.
Yeah.
And the only reason he quit then was to help his brother. His brother got sick and he went up there to help him in that building.
Martin.
And then Martin got where he couldn't keep going because, you know, it costs money now to be in something like that.
Yeah.
But Willie loved it. He loved that bus.
Yeah. Oh, that's the reason he quit.
Mm-hmm. This is the reason I begged Willie to take this job up there. Because, you know, one thing was on account of his lip, you know, where he wouldn't be out in the sun.
Yeah.
And then he wanted to be with his cows, you know, where he'd take care of his cows in the daytime, have, you know, time for them.
Yeah.
And I begged him to take that. I said, it don't pay much money, it's true. But I said, my goodness, you've been out of work so long, you know, just a little job here and there. And I said, you can take this and take that little bit a month and come out. Better than taking a job here and making twice as much and killing yourself, you know. So finally, I talked him into it, and I wanted him to do that because he had 13 years in with the state.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then he put this right back in the state fund, see, like
oh,
he...
Oh, yeah.
It's not much, but my gosh, at his age, he can't get something else to retire off of it.
I hadn't thought of that. Yes, that's...
If you don't have something to retire off of when you get... of age, you in bad fix unless you make enough that you can put it aside.
Yeah.
So it's like if you don't have what you should have to live off of, I mean, far as your home and things, by the time you age of 50, you're not going to get it in your next 50 because you're not going to be able to make it.
Yeah, well, that's such a, you all, when I think about you all out there, you're all so well situated out there. Where does your family live from where you are?
Right behind me, Joins Our Land. My home place is Joins Our Land.
What's their name?
Nixon.
Oh, sure.
My brother's living on it now. He just built them. We still got our home there. It's been some added to it, but part of it's there, and he's built a new home on it.
But your old home place is there?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
You know the grave before you turn off?
No, I don't know that country. It's all mixed up in mine. But now Willie's home place burned.
Yeah, the old house. Uh-huh.
Now that's back when he was just growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I sometimes wonder why.
They had a big two-story house.
There's so many ways they can catch on fire. Just one is that any of them last.
I know it.
The way they do.
Well, especially, well, I don't know, back then they used wood stoves and didn't even know what this gas and all that was, you know.
This, when we come here, we put this floor down, they're cleaning, the other floor is wild, right over there is where they had the kitchen stove, and right there where Ms. Welch put her biscuit pan in, the wood floor was wore about that thin. They just wore the wood floor out of that old wood stove.
I know it.
And she got gas or something. No, I guess Miss Welch never did get gas. She left here around 1936 or 8, long in there. And Miss Boyle stayed here. She cooked for a generation.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't leave for 1960. So that's that right. A good bit of traffic over there, hasn't it?
How long y'all been living here?
1960? Well, we didn't start living out here then. But see, we eat most of that old three-day-old bread. That's come down in the world, isn't it, from what it was?
Yeah, Guy said, now, you know, you can just see those footprints almost,
yeah,
like somebody's putting biscuits in that oven back and forth. He didn't want to move it, so.
Fred Wood down here at the store, he thinks about this place over here. He grew up along with Miss Sally's boys, Jimmy and the other one. And he sat at the table here and eats so much, you know. He just pictures the place like it used to be and the way it is now. He never been here since we were here. I don't know.
Who owns this new home when it just turned off up in that field?
That's Joe Richardson.
Joe Richardson?
Yeah,
I know when I see him.
Yeah.
Pretty, isn't it? I like it. Yes, just right up there, you know. It's pretty the way it's got its place.
Yeah. Well, now I enjoyed this. I'm supposed to.
Just imagine.
You ought to talk about a little something else that I can listen to before
just
I have a
imagine,
going out there.
Sybil, though, living right adjoining her own property.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do like to. Wouldn't you like to do that?
We wonder why in the world we ever left where we grew up.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Tennessee.
What part of Tennessee?
Way up in northwest corner.
Well, one of the women that I worked with was from Tennessee, too.
Yeah. Well, there's several states in Tennessee, you know. They're all different.
Mm-hmm.
All
yeah, I know.
I don't know whether all states are like that or not. Well, Florida's like
lots
that.
Lots of mountains?
Yeah.
Y'all had lots of mountains right in there?
No. I come from the old red clay hills, just like Georgia, up there where I come from, Weaver County. Then in the middle, you know, they've got the bluegrass. Then you get through that Cumberland Plateau, that's all high and beautiful. Then you got the Tennessee Valley and the mountains on the, you know, east.
I don't think I like the mountains. I like to see them, but I wouldn't want to live in there where it's just mountains, you know.
You like to see Attica?
That's y'all all in what you get used to.
But now your home is right there, and then Willis is all just right on down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know too much about it.
What, do y'all, your sisters live around? Or
no, I have one sister living in Irving. She's one that's sick, you know. Then, then I have a brother that lives right on down the road from me. He and his wife live down there. Then I have a brother that lives he works for Whitehurst out of Williston, Archer, Raleigh, whatever you call it over there.
Yeah.
He lives up there. He's got a family. He had a family of six, and he's got them all about grown now. He's my baby brother.
Oh.
And then the middle brother, he lives on the home place. He bought it.
Uh-huh.
Then I have a sister in Leesburg.
Oh.
I have a sister in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, they've all scattered.
Mm-hmm. I got three sisters living in Ocala.
Oh.
And one in Williston. I don't have but seven.
I just think that's
hard. Eight,
yeah. Well, now, where'd you have the birthday party?
Up at my daughter's. It was just my daughter, two daughters, and me. Willie didn't even get to go.
Oh,
they hated that, but, you know, they wanted to have it on my birthday. My daughters.
Now, Lola's one has been sick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, which one of the boys is it? Or was it, maybe that is not your brother. Frankie said he worked with one of the mixing boys.
Johnny, yes, it is. My baby brother.
Your baby brother? Mm-hmm. And he said he'd stay over a lot of times and help him do things.
Mm-hmm.
Over there when he was working.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mr. Cockle was good to my brother, let me tell you. And them kids, they were little things.
Uh-huh.
And they loved him to death.
Mr. Cockle.
What was he like? I've heard of him,
Mr.
but
Cockle?
I never saw him. Is he still living down here?
Yes, he has a home there, and he's in and out.
I see.
But his wife, she owns oil wells out someplace.
Yeah.
So I made this out there a good bit.
And he's rich.
Yes, he got rich off of watermelons and cattle too.
Yeah.
Then Johnny worked for this man up from Gainesville. Well, his son lives in Gainesville. I don't even know his name. I can't think of it. He's the one that was really good to Johnny.
Oh.
Because he'd give him a good salary. And he had the house to live in, but Johnny worked for him. Because they had lots of cows. Just lots of them.
Who was that?
I can't think of his name.
Abigail?
Mm-hmm. His boy. Now, he's from New York, I believe. He died not too long ago. His wife's still living. Then Johnny, after he sold out, Mr. Whitehurst is renting that, I guess, or buying. I believe he's renting it. I got a lease or something. Mr. Whitehurst's been good to me.
What is that?
Mr. Whitehurst, he's in construction, in road building, and he's a big farmer too.
Well, now what's Johnny doing for him?
Cutting hay, raking hay, and tending the cows, and, you know.
Oh, you mean that place that Mr. Whitehurst is?
Yeah. It joins Payne's Prairie up in there. Sometimes it rains a lot. It's where Johnny lives. The water comes up, you know, rise, and they have to move out. But it's not too often, but it does when they have bad storms or something.
I'd love to work for Mr. Whitehurst, somebody who could, you know, pay the bill.
Yeah.
But I sure don't care about working myself.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That's costly.
Mm-hmm. They fall apart too fast.
That's what I tell Willie.
Don't go fast.
I said, when I say something about, I'm saying he don't work, I mean when he's home, you know, around the house. Well, you work, I don't care, you're home anytime you're working, but I mean when, like you say, you got to have some money coming in to say you're really out, you know, public work.
Yeah. Now, I mean, Willie and Frankie too, I know, to talk about the death trowers. Now,
mm-hmm.
Who are they?
Well, they're big farmers. Used to be right there. They're at Shiloh.
Oh.
You know
where
that's at.
Oh, one of them had a store down there.
Mm-hmm. That's Albert.
Albert.
That's one Frankie works for.
Albert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You mean say you don't know Zet Ryan and been around here all this time?
I haven't been out that way.
We just go toward Gainesville.
Well, there's a lot of them live out that Rochelle.
Yes.
They're related to those.
Same.
You know that chitty that run that store?
Henry.
Uh-huh. Well, he married Albert Zetrow's daughter.
Well, that's Albert's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Stardust Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen her, but I've just seen her. You know.
She's a worker. She works like a man.
Oh, does she?
Well, what's Henry selling out for?
Well, he was in partnership with Matthews, and he died. So I guess he decided just wanted to get out. He's got cows and things he don't need anyway, because he's going to get all the vet routes, and he's dead gone.
That's right.
Yeah.
No,
that's the only child.
No use being cooked up, is it?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, in a clothing store.
Zetrow's been real wealthy people. Their daddy was a big farmer and had lots of cows.
Yeah.
They had lots of cows when you didn't have to keep them, you know, on the fence.
Yeah.
And when Mrs. Etrai died, he left thousands and thousands of dollars for those children. He had two boys and a girl.
They had something to work with.
And they didn't even need it when they got it, because they had already had some too. But anyway, it was theirs. And Albert made real good on his store. He just finally decided to want to do it.
Correct. Well, are they pretty good traders, or what is it?
They're good people.
Willie's talking about taking a barn down for one of them. Is that Albert?
Well, Willie's his right-hand man. He always tell me, he said, he's a little tied-tongued, you know. He says, I don't know what we do. It's something happened to Willie, because we depend on Willie, do everything. You know, he does a little electrical work for him, plumbing, carpentry.
Oh, that's right.
He's got faith in Willie, that's the reason, because he knows when Willie does it, it's done.
Yeah.
Willie's a little slow, but when he gets it done, it's going to stay there.
I know he's been slow.
He is slow. I mean, he don't think so, but I do.
He's slow getting around to it.
See, but a lot of people can work fast and they throw it together.
Yeah.
Well, Willie's going to take his time, and it's going to be there.
I don't imagine you throw things together, but I bet you're fast.
Yeah, I like to work fast.
They talk about, who is it, this fella? And they always smile when they talk about him. Everett, somebody.
Smith.
Well,
see,
he he's never married. He's related too, distant, you know,
yeah.
Cousin. But Willie and Martin used to farm with Everett's daddy.
Oh.
And of course, Everett's daddy died. Well, Everett, all of his people, our sister and brother, married except him. He never married, and he's about 62, something like that. So he's always been a big eater.
Oh.
And every time anybody mentions picnic, old Everett's there.
Oh, really?
And the preacher and everybody's always teasing Everett about eating so much, and you don't even have to invite him because he can smell and he comes, you know, to the.
Yeah.
And that's the reason they laugh about it, because
yeah.
Everett's always around. And he used to come around our house a lot, but since, I don't know, I guess he didn't have time, you know, really working out, coming in late and things like that. He don't come around too much.
Where does he live? Close to you?
He lives over there out from Zit Ralph.
Over towards Shallow.
Mm-hmm. That's what they're teasing me about.
Yeah, I see.
Frank and Willie's about as tight.
Oh!
Is Frankie tight?
Yeah, he's tight.
That's Frankie.
They're sport, aren't they? Willie and Frankie get together?
Yeah.
I was telling Ms. Miles that.
They are really the funniest things that ever was.
Frankie, I don't care what Willie's got to do, Frankie's always willing to come help him.
Yeah.
Well, Willie does for him, too. And for the last 2 or 3 years, Willie has cut. See, they still have a fireplace, you know, at home. He's cut every bit of the wood that they burn. His mother and his sister lives in a trailer there by, you know, by Frankie. And he's cut every bit of the wood for them to burn.
Willie has.
Mm-hmm. He'll do it again this one. He enjoys it, you know.
What has he got to cut wood with?
His brother put wood saw. But Frankie, see, here's what I was getting at. Now, like, Willie was going to want to deal with the hay.
Yeah.
Well, like I told Miss Miles, he said, well, I'm not really able to do it myself.
Yeah.
But if Frankie would help me,
yeah.
Then I could give him part of mine, see, and then that way he could get, you know, because he knew that he wasn't able to do it.
Yeah.
And because he knew he wouldn't have the time.
Yeah.
So then that's when he talked Frankie. And Frankie, well, yeah, he wanted to help Willie, you know. But just like the other day now, when he could have, Danny's daddy could have come over and helped Willie as much as he does for him.
Yeah.
The other boy could have come, but they ain't going to get out and do no heavy work.
Yeah.
But that little one, this is Willie's brother's adopted child that was here.
Danny?
Well, he's not adopted, but his wife was married before, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. They didn't adopt him.
Yes, he is.
He's a good Christian boy, and he knows how to respect people. And Willie thinks just as much of him as he does his own girl. Because every time he wants something done, he calls on Danny to help him. And Danny come up there. Danny knew he kind of got upset and sad with his lip. He said his lip bothered him so much. He knew, when it gets dry, it gets sticky. It sticks to his top lip. And he said that dust off that hay just like the word him crazy. Well, I told him, you know, the heat. I think it's what it is.
Oh, that was hot.
We were the silliest things that ever was. We should have just knocked
out. Well, it was just hot for everybody, but with his lip, he just got, you know, it just started burning or something.
He should have been the boss man and just sat in
But he can't do it. He can't do it.
No, he can't do it.
Well, we were all adults.
Now, Frankie is stingy. Is he close to this money?
Well, he's close. Well, it's just as close.
I didn't want to get something on him at all.
Look at that lot, I didn't think he'd be after me.
Oh, you wouldn't. But he is so fun to have Frankie.
He is, all the time.
Is that right? All the time.
It's four of them boys, and I'll guarantee you it's a never dead, a dead moment around them.
They're all alive.
All alive.
And what's the sister's name?
Margaret.
Margaret. Is she...
Yeah, she's full of life, but she's always clean. Well, I know she's been sick, but she's had something ailing ever since she's been here, you know, just about.
You know what she told me that time? I always saw her once.
It ain't a bit of telling. What'd she tell me?
I always saw her, Frankie. And she came out there to tell me my gas can was out there. I gave it to Willie. I didn't want it. But he left there. And we're going to bring it back over here. He got it for his daddy. Well, he got it for somebody, some fella, somebody who's sick.
Oh, Maxie Mixon?
I don't know. And anyhow, I give it to him. I didn't want it. But it was there. And she had it on her mind. She said she come out there and tell me that she had reminded him around the time. But he's always too big in her to tell you. And she leaned up against the car there, just like Willie was. And she said,
"You can't get away from her. She likes to talk like Willie."
That's it.
You have to drive off and leave her talking.
She says they didn't claim her.
Yeah. Now, see, she's spoiled rotten. That's the reason she talks like that.
Yeah. She says wherever they went, they didn't let on they knew her. That she was the oldest. And the ugliest and the talkingest.
She don't talk no more than Willie, but she has been spoiled by her daddy. Her daddy spoiled her good. Of course, the boys always had to give in to her, see, because he made them.
Yeah.
Then when they got out on their own and the daddy dead and gone, they didn't have to give in to her.
Yeah.
She's good, but she thinks, well, I don't know, it's just old-fashioned stuff, you know.
What?
Old-fashioned. Just like Willie. Well, like this. Now I work, Willie's working. She thinks we ought to have money banked.
Yes.
And they don't work.
Yeah.
Well, dang, if we get a new car, we work for it.
Yeah.
But she kind of resents that a little bit. That's the way she feels, see. But that's the wrong way to feel. If you get out and work for something, that's yours.
Yeah.
And she'll always, of course, half the time she don't mean it. You know, she's just running off like me now.
You never know when she means it.
Oh, yeah, I do. I haven't been in that family 30-some years for nothing. She probably told you she didn't like me, too, didn't she?
And that's all it was said.
Oh, she is.
She told me about the bottle, and then she said that, and I left. We talked about a dog, and I went on out. Mm-hmm. I said, well, this dog bites you, or something like that, you see. I've been standing there talking to Frankie, and I stayed with her a while. So I come on off, and that's all.
She was four.
I never talked to her.
Well, they got one dead.
Oh, yeah.
And she don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how does she escape that? I don't everybody work these days.
Well, you tell me, because I get tired of working. Work, and you have nothing. You look around and see these people not working, got more than you got.
Yeah, I want to know about that, too.
Yeah.
Well, her husband used to work, out, and then he worked at this mill down there, and the mill closed. Well, he just didn't go out and get another job. He farmed a little bit. And, of course, that wasn't much there, but anyway, he finally got sick, not able to work. He's a diabetic, real bad, you know. So the doctors got him this, he draws his Social Security. And the welfare gives so much for Betty Ann, you know, the girl.
Yeah.
And that's the only way they live.
Oh.
She's not real, the Betty Ann.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
She came over with Frankie. And,
yeah.
Yes, she's well, now that's not the way of saying it's called these days. That's
no,
not like that.
I tell you that as much as I do.
Yeah. Well,
this is
it.
What I don't understand.
Yeah.
She'll tell you now, she'll probably make remarks about Willie. It's like I told Ms. Miles, Willie is a person. He loves to do for people.
Yeah.
And they can say, Willie, I got a light bulb out. Will you come put it in?
Yeah.
He goes right then, put that bulb in. I don't care what they got wrong, the pump shuts off, or Frankie's car don't start, or Margaret's stove won't light, Willie Chitty's there.
Yeah.
But now this brother Martin that lives in town, he don't come out and do all these things, but you know, usually the one that does all the dirty work for you,
yeah.
The one that's less thought of, way you think it, you know.
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
I know they love him, but it's a different time.
When he don't
do it. Yeah. Well, Margaret, she gets married with my girls because they don't go down there, you know, lots. But they don't have time. They don't come to see me as much as I'd like for them to.
Yeah.
But you, when you work, you got a husband working too. You don't have time.
Well, what does Margaret? She got her hands full just keeping house.
Sitting on a can.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, she just made a hit with me that time, mother.
Right.
And she said,
"Miss
that
Miles, you better watch him.
You better watch."
She said that with a straightest face.
Hmm?
She said they don't let on.
That we need to know. Now see, and I'm that's
their,
wrong.
I'm the oldest.
That's
and
wrong.
Ugliest and the talkingest. She
you know,
said it just like that.
And Miss Miles, she'll tell you that every time you see her too.
Yeah.
She'll tell me, well, why don't you come see us? I said, I don't never see you come in my house. So I just hand it back to her. That's the only way you can get along with her, you know. Just
yeah.
Let her know how you feel.
Yeah.
She don't mess with me. Did you know me and her got the same birthday and we got the same wedding anniversary?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But she's older.
Yeah.
That's
she's good. I mean, she's a good person, but she's spoilt rotten and expect for you to do every time she wants you to do something or come every time she wants you to go down there.
You mean she's still
full
rotten?
She sure is. Did you know their mother she's nearing her 80 now.
Yeah.
You met her, didn't you?
Yeah.
She's got better health than any of the family.
Yeah.
Isn't that happens every time?
And she never complains about hurting anything, you know. She worries more about Margaret. Margaret can say, oh, my side hurt. Well, she thinks Margaret's going to die with cancer or something. I said, good gosh. I told her one day, I said, as long as she's been complaining, she's been ate up, bone, skin, and all.
Yeah. And she really complains?
All the time about being sick, yeah.
Is that right?
And she just had an operation. She's had three or four operations since me and Willie have been married.
Really?
Yeah, constant complaint.
Yeah.
Chronic complaint, what do you call it?
Well, now, Frankie.
Now, Frankie and him think she's really sick.
Daddy.
Frankie and her mama. And but you take Martin and Willie, they think, well, you get up off your can and do something once in a while, you feel better.
Yeah. Well, now, Frankie, out here one day, he wouldn't eat something or other. He said it hurt his teeth.
He's got bad teeth and won't go have nothing done to him. Sweets. He don't eat sweets. Well, you know if you got a cavity, if you eat something sweet, take your head off.
Yeah.
But he loves that tea.
He does. But he won't go today?
No.
He said he didn't like that.
Did you know Will and Martin are saying, well, when Frankie was a baby, he had some kind of stomach trouble. No, he had colitis real bad, and they'd like to lost him. But he pulled through, and today they think, you know, well, that if he gets a pain, that's caused from fat when he was little.
Yeah.
I said, good gosh. I said, that boy don't ever go to a doctor, don't ever go to a dentist. I said, and if you're sick, you're going to go to one of them once in a while. But I've never known of him going to a doctor. Never.
Scared of him.
I'm not scared of him.
Well, does he have any other complaints besides his teeth?
Yeah, his bones hurt. He's going to pass out. I tell you, since Willie had this with his lip, you know, they think, well, that's going to happen to them too, you know, something bad going. But
yeah. Well, Willie smoked pipe all the time.
Yeah, cigarette too.
Yeah.
Frankie quit smoking before Willie did.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
He got scared.
Well, he didn't even know Willie had this, but he'd heard so much on TV about it, so he quit smoking, and he just got fat.
Oh, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
He said he just weighed 100 pounds, 115, 20 pounds after the last
year.
Yeah,
season. Quit smoking and gained weight.
Oh, yes, that's
he's
right.
A sport, I'll tell you one thing. He likes to pick on you. You know, he likes to aggravate me, you know, tease me. And I hand it back just as hard as he give it, and that's what he likes.
He wants to aggravate you.
Mm-hmm.
How did it tease
you? I said, you put on a pair of shorts, man, I like them pretty legs. And I said, come on in, feel it if you want to. And you know, you just turn and walk away from it.
Well, let me tell you, that Friday afternoon, some of my students were out there, and they just took up.
Yeah, because he started teasing him.
I wasn't close enough to know what was happening.
Well, like when these two girls left the other day, you know, they just coming in, and they kind of looked back to wave at me, and all of them said, well, don't rush off, you know. But Will and all of them was hollering at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I didn't know whether Frankie was, he's four, he didn't talk very much, you know.
Oh, you talk you to death.
But he had those girls, they were all boy. He had to go, but he didn't go.
None of them
was
bashful then.
No, they're not bashful.
Exactly.
And Willie's number one, he not bashful, nobody.
Maybe they one of the cutest things that happened. We were all so hot, and we were all worn out. And I had forgotten, you know, a million things. Sybil had to open the gate, and I was supposed to move pack in. You know, we didn't move the trailer down there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything happened. I wasn't using my head at all. Frank was trying to back that tray up with the hay in that thing, and he couldn't do it. He didn't do it.
You can't see.
Yeah.
And I think it was making him a little nervous. So the next time around, he told Danny to. And Danny backed it in. But the cute thing about it was, old Frankie said, now I just put it in sideways. I just do it right like this and go right
in.
Yeah,
I know. But you know what Willie said? He said, you know, he said, I wouldn't even mess with that hay if I didn't like Mr. Miles as much as I do. I wouldn't.
I'm sorry we ever got anything.
He enjoys it. It's not that. Yeah. If he hadn't had, lip trouble. Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it is. Everybody was sort of jinx. Nobody was ahead. I told you, I left that bull out there. I took the horses out. So we wouldn't have to fool him. And then all I had to do was put the bull down there.
I don't think the bull would have come out because he stayed in one spot all the time.
I know, but we kept having to open and close
the
gate, you see.
Yeah.
It was so
and
scary.
What I do, the way I do, if a gate gets in the way, I just take it down. Or if the fence in the way, I take the fence down. My fences are not permanent. No, they just sort of lean up there. And down there in the shed, next morning I went down. I didn't go down there the next morning. They had been working around that little old trailer.
The fertilizer on it.
With the fertilizer.
We didn't
pull it out.
But you know what? If that thing would have cut right and tied, it would have been all over.
That's right.
But that's where y'all got aggravated.
That's the
thing when
that
it wouldn't be just
the person that was supposed to regulate it didn't get it.
Because this is what I tell you about Willie. It's got to be just so where it don't go.
Well, now let me tell you, Sybil, I didn't realize that, but I believe there's something to that.
It is.
Yeah. Now, you see, I built this shed out here, and it's kitty corner. Well, nobody ever noticed it but Willie.
He'll notice it.
He notices it. And then I think it's the same thing with those bailiffs.
What did he say to you about it? He's got to say, and mean no harm by it, but he's going to say something teasing you.
Yeah.
Just like they did her about the teeth.
Uh-huh.
They done that just to tease her.
Oh,
and you
yeah,
know what I told Willie when he got home?
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I tried not to say much, you know, around, because those two girls out there, and if y'all had been out there, I'd probably said something. I said, let me tell you one thing. The next time I hear you, Frankie, or Tommy say anything about anybody's food, I said, brother, I'm going to open my mouth. I said, if that had been mine, I'd have told you quick to leave that so-and-so tea there and don't touch it. And Willie knows I would have told him that. And I said, y'all tease Ms. Miles too much. And Willie, I said, y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself. And Willie didn't say a word. He knew that I was after him, too. But he's going to tease.
Yeah.
Yeah, I make it so dark like that and then have water to pour
that,
you know, but they just...
Willie's used to
it
being
just, they just
pretty
strong. Me out
but Frank has got where his mama makes it so strong, and her coffee, it'll make you stand on your head.
Oh, really?
And he gets after all the time, and he's just teasing you about that
I
tea.
I just love to tease you, and that's the way Frankie started.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that I really had it made Frankie start out calling me cowgirl. And I thought, this is really... But, you know, we've never had any hay that loose in all my life. Never.
Well, it just didn't
And it just didn't do right. But anyway, the next one's will.
If it had been tied, it'd have been easier for them to handle. They could have picked it up and thrown it and never thought nothing about it, you know.
Well, you just wanted
it. Well, I think Frankie wants it plum, too.
Mm-hmm. He does. He's kin to Willie. And I'm just about like him. I'd go to somebody's house, and if I see a picture, you know, now I know that picture. You look at that picture, and you probably notice it. But it's a little off on that corner. Well, I've heard Willie say this so doggone much, till I can't help but think it.
Is that right?
That's right.
Well, now.
And you notice this thing.
Sure.
When Willie does something, and somebody comes along and says, y'all cut this hay now, and if Bill Wynn was to come in here, or somebody from McIntosh, they saw this stuff, if it wasn't cut smooth, first thing they'd say, who done it? Willie Titty, if he done it, he wants a good job.
Yeah.
So that's him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he just chewed Frankie up because he came over here one row when he first cut it. One row.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And then he just chewed Frankie up. And Frankie
oh,
said,
why
did I thought it was a cutter? And it was the truth.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
but now, you know,
they're lots of fun.
I guess a lot of people like that. They like, if they get hay, they want they want the bale. Square.
Mm-hmm.
It never dawned on me that it ought to be, you know, I mean, just so you can pick it up.
Packed.
It's too late.
Well, it usually packs it so tight, you know,
uh-huh.
You see just loads of it going down road on these big trucks, you know, and it just looks like
well,
a block, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But,
well,
y'all just didn't have it adjusted, and Willie said, oh, well, I hadn't been around these things, you know. He said, I never have cut hay and messed with it too much, and you got to work around the machinery like that before you know what to do to it.
Well, now, I got that. People buy equipment, and they pay a lot for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't gotten more than I have. I didn't, you know, not go into the hay business. One of my neighbors over here, they bought brand new equipment to make hay, and all they had is 20, 30 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going in with them. I couldn't go there. So that sort of put me off on myself. And I run into Red Smith down here at Brush Tractor. And I told him that I needed an old baler. And I just didn't want to have to handle my hay loose.
Mm-hmm.
It took up so much space. I have handled it loose and had that whole shed out there full of
loose
hay. And I said, if you could just get me an old baling, just a little sort of halfway baling, I don't care what it looks like. But he says, I've got one just your speed. And he brought that up here. And I've been using it 3 or 4 years. And I never pay much attention to the shape.
Just so they're tight enough.
Or the tightness or anything like that, you know, just so it sort of...
Well, it'd probably be all right if you didn't have to handle it too much. But the more you handle it,
but we never had anything that loose. We brought that in so we could smell it.
Well, I don't, I don't handle it, see. I just haul it in and put it in the shed and then take it out to the car.
Well, my daddy used to put it on poles, you know, and stack it up.
Yeah.
We've done that.
Yes, I think that's hard to beat.
Yeah.
Because anyway, you figured this equipment. Now, last year, the boys over here working with me, and I got sort of rattled, and I picked up a piece of lighted wood, and it just busted up the knife, the blade in there, just cut it. And that cost me more than my whole hay crop was worth. Well, it cost $70, $40. Plus the labor. Well, it's a new one in there now. It'll cut now, but it was just, you know, just you get rattled every now and then. I'll go out there. I gotta go out there.
I tell you, let's just cut out.
I enjoyed that visit, Sybil.
Yeah.
Now, don't you forget, I don't know how. Sybil,
Let's just take a little turn around.
I don't let it get off. Just telling you how she took those two.
Oh, well, we're going to have to stop that. Well, we got just so she gets home by dark is all.
Yeah.
Let's run around down here to the...